Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here. Quarter number three, I'm sorry. The second segment of our Forgotten Players. So that segment number two, quarter number three, if that makes sense, of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio.
Boy, that's not confusing.
Crisp and clean. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. At least the beer is crisp and clean. We got that going for us.
That makes you pretty much an average radio host.
If most days if I'm there, I'm feeling pretty good about myself, to be honest with you. We talked about forgotten players and guys that, you know, we might hear their names more now, but through the winter and spring, we didn't discuss them enough or they weren't written about enough. And we did on the offense. Now we're going to go on the defense. And he's going to be – Jimmy's going to introduce who they are and why we haven't discussed them enough.
All right. Let's start on the line. At tackle, Robert Windsor.
Yeah.
Had a great year. Yeah. I'm not saying he's a forgotten guy. Who's the other starter? Who's the other tackle who's going to start?
We did a segment similar to this where we got Greg's take on these. And I brought up Robert Windsor not as somebody who, you know, we don't discuss enough so much, but somebody whose upside and whose ability isn't as, you know, we don't think it's as great as it actually is.
I think that's true, too.
I think Windsor is a better player than he gets credit for. So he sort of falls under this umbrella.
He could have fell under your man crush, too.
I'm a big Robert Windsor fan, yes, for sure. But as far as who's starting next to him, you know, Antonio Shelton is probably going to be that guy. But it doesn't get discussed very much because, you know, we're worried about P.J. Mustipher. Or we're thinking about P.J. Mustipher and how great he can be. Let's not look totally past Antonio Shelton right now.
That's exactly my point. And those of us who do follow the team closely, I think we do appreciate what Robert Windsor is. But that second tackle position, we just sort of forget it. So, you know, if it is Antonio Shelton, and he is still just a redshirt sophomore, so it's not like we're talking about a guy who's hung around and it's his fourth or fifth year in the program and
he's a redshirt junior.
Is he a junior?
Yeah, okay, he's a redshirt junior.
I thought it was sophomore.
But still, to your point, there's still two more years of eligibility left for him. And he did play you know, a small role as a redshirt sophomore at that position. So, but Shelton, you know, like, he's a former three-star recruit. So based on hype or lack of hype as a high school player, he just didn't have much, but he's another one of those guys, and Penn State's got a pretty good working list of examples of defensive tackles who we might not have thought all that much about as high school players, but behind the scenes they just kind of grinded away and developed, and now he's listed at 6'2", 311 pounds. I think I saw somewhere that he might be the strongest player on the team. You know, I like his feistiness and his competitiveness, and that's kind of just what you need as that run-stuffing, block-occupying defensive tackle role. Robert Windsor can do that. Robert Windsor can penetrate. You know, that's what differentiates a lot of times the great defensive tackles from the good defensive tackles, is the ability to do all those things. But Antonio Shelton's going to do his job. He's going to free up a guy like Robert Windsor next to him. He's going to free up linebackers behind him. That's a job that it's a dirty work job that doesn't scream glory. You know, it doesn't scream headlines. So we might be sitting here this time next year, Antonio Shelton being a 13-game starter, doing a great job. We were like, you know, we're not talking about him enough because that's just what happens for guys like him.
But how important is that guy at defensive tackle just to occupy people?
Yeah, it's huge.
So that the linebackers and defensive ends, where we see plenty of star power there for this Penn State defense. So having that tackle. But here's the other one. Among the tackle position, you expect at least a rotation of four players, right? So if we count Shelton and Windsor projected starters, we talk a lot about P.J. Mustipher. Who is that fourth guy? Is it Fred Hansard?
Yeah, I think Hansard is probably the guy, assuming, you know, seeing him in the blue-white game, after injuring his foot last season was a huge, it was a big deal. You know, because he does have some experience. He is 316 pounds. He's so naturally big and strong. You have to use him in the rotation. So I think he's the fourth guy. And I think that you're looking at, you know, a Judge Culpepper type. You're looking at Aeneas Hawkins, one of those types of guys to jump in as your fifth and sixth guys. Greg's got a really high opinion of Devon Ellis, who as a freshman is 304 pounds. So he's an interesting player. And I think Damian Barber too. I think Damian Barber has the potential to be the second best penetrating defensive tackle on the roster. You know, with that length, like he's listed at 6'3", 290. So he's got that that sort of Anthony Zettel, former defensive end. He's long and quicker than a lot of these guards that you're going to see in the Big Ten. But he's also, you know, at 6'3", he's also longer than that. I don't know what his wingspan is, but he's also longer than his dimensions suggest he would be. So I think there's some potential. There's questions for sure, but there's some potential there at the fourth, fifth, and sixth spots in that rotation.
And it's almost as if you could say the whole defensive tackle position is overlooked. Windsor, who I'm going to call the star of the group, he's kind of overlooked.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just forgotten, it seems. So I believe we need to pay more attention to them.
Yeah, and here, I'm just going to sum that little quandary up in one sentence. There is a disproportionate number of defensive tackles on Penn State's roster who are going to be asked to do things they've never done before. That sort of includes Robert Windsor now as the guy. He's the man with a target on his back where he wasn't really last year. Everybody's going to be asked to play a role up from where they were before. And not every program, every team has to go through that. Every year, you're going to be asking some. At the Penn State's defensive tackle spot, it's everybody. Robert Windsor less so than the others because he's going to be a starter again. But Antonio Shelton, PJ Mustafer, Fred Hansard, all these guys are going to be asked to step into bigger shoes than they have in the past.
And there's not nearly the star power that there is at defensive
not
end
yet.
And linebacker.
Not yet. I think you're going to see a couple stars emerge here, though.
Okay. Let's move to linebacker. And we talked about some of the youngsters, Brandon Smith, Lance Dixon. We have Micah coming back. But who's the guy who's going to be starting in the middle? And I'm not listing Cam Brown because he's our own Bob Flounders talks about him a lot. That's one of his favorites. But how about the guy in the middle?
Jan Johnson. Yeah. Coming from where he's coming from, that's easy. The fact that he's not his athleticism and his speed and his physical attributes aren't going to pop off the page at you. But what's the middle linebacker position about? What's Penn State recruiting to now at that middle linebacker spot? This is you've had a former walk-on play a prominent role in that position most of James Franklin's tenure. So Jan Johnson, he shouldn't be discounted because of where he came from. Like he's a better athlete than you know being a quote unquote walk on, you know. Like he's a good player. Don't overlook him and be so ready to usher in like the Ellis Brooks era that you don't appreciate him for what he is. You need the grinder in the middle. You can have freaks everywhere else, but you need the guy who's going to be super steady, be in all the right spots. When you're playing next to Micah Parsons, who's known as a roamer, a freelancer, somebody who's going to break scheme more often than most, it helps to have a guy who's never going to break scheme.
Exactly. But we don't talk about him. Now, our colleague Ross Tucker loves him. Even we did
Berks County bias. Yeah,
we did a segment on freak athletes, and he used Jan Johnson. He made a good point. How many guys could go on to the wrestling team at a collegiate level, at the level of Penn State, and then also
give away
be on
60
the football?
Pounds in doing it? Yeah,
right. So there's a lot there that goes unappreciated. So he deserves us talking about him, and he can be that steadying influence in the middle. And like you said, carry on the tradition of walk-on middle linebackers.
And I think just the way to think about it is don't be counting down the days to when Jan Johnson's replaced. You know, it's tempting to do that because you've got a former four-star in Alice Brooks, somebody who you like, but don't be so eager to turn the page that you don't appreciate Jan Johnson for what he is.
And because he had to play perhaps before he was ready, I'm going to use Cam Brown as an example. He had to play as a freshman, and look at the difference between Cam Brown as a freshman and what we expect of him this season. And it's the same way. I expect Jan Johnson to do the job this year, and I think we're going to be pleased with what we see from him. Again, there's the studs behind him who will start getting playing time, but don't overlook him. All right, how about we talk about the DBs a little bit? And I'm going to go one of my favorite players, Tariq Castro-Fields. I don't think he gets talked about enough, and I think he's ready to really step up and be a star.
Well, I think his upside, his potential is something that we probably don't get into enough, mainly because, you know, you don't really have NFL draft projections and stuff, but like, he's a better athlete and possibly a better player than both Amani Oruwariye and Christian Campbell, and both those guys got their shots in the NFL. Tariq Castro-Fields now is a true junior with 2 years of experience, now steps into that starting role where he was just the hybrid starter number three before. I think we should be expecting the world of Tariq Castro-Fields. Not to put undue pressure on him, but I think he's got the length and the athleticism. He's a physical tackler. He's got all the attributes that you want.
And don't you feel comfortable at the cornerback position with him and John Reed as your two corners?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a little bit of everything on the edge now. You've got a little bit of everything, and you've got good number three, good number four corners too. But Tariq Castro-Fields, that's a good one. I mean, you could say the same thing about John Reed. You could say that Garrett Taylor is overlooked because we're so enamored with that, with who's going to emerge from that other group, that we forget about Garrett Taylor's right here. He's here now. He's ready to play. He's got a year of experience as a starter, a pretty good year at that, and should be even better this year.
Exactly. And as we talked about in the earlier segment, he finished the season strong, which I think is often an indicator of what we're going to see the following year. Could I real quickly on special teams? We haven't talked a lot about them, have we, at all? We just assume. Now, Gilligan, I think, is a star punter.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about Jake Pinniger at all, have we?
Well, I liked what we saw from the blue-white game. Just he looks like a confident kid. There's better trajectory on his kicks. He's a true sophomore. He's a very athletic kid. He started as a freshman. I think there's a lot of possibilities for him, and I think we're going to see that unfold early this year. We got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Dustin is coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.